Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I think it's safe to say that all of us in this room, whether in the past or right now, have felt lost. Sometimes that's bigger situations, sometimes smaller situations, sometimes it lasts a long time, other times it doesn't, but I think we all know what it feels like to be lost, and we know what it feels like to be going through life and just not sure how to keep going. For some of us, it has been, or maybe is, this situation where we look at our lives and it feels like we keep making the wrong decisions. We go and we're trying to figure things out and we make a decision and it turns out wrong. And then something else happens, we make a decision and it turns out wrong. Sometimes this is a matter of temptation, where the temptation comes and you're like, ah, I can fight it, and you can't. Or this other thing comes along and you're going down the right path, and then the temptation comes and you get sidetracked. Other times you just feel like you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, and everything you're doing just isn't working. For others of us here, you just feel like you've got these hard decisions, you've got these difficult circumstances, whether that's financially or with your kids or with your marriage or with your job, and you've got hard things coming up, and you come up against them and you're like, I have no idea how to make this work. I have no idea how to actually take it from the situation I'm in and get through it. I have no idea what it is that I need to do to change the situation, to change the circumstances, to get to the place where I know what I'm supposed to be doing next. And you just don't know. Others of you, it's this constant feeling of anxiety. You may know what you're supposed to be doing. You may have an idea that you're supposed to be living this like this, or you're supposed to be doing these things, but there is constantly that worry that nags at you. Did I do that right? Did I do it right enough? Did I talk to that person? Oh, what did I say to that person? Is that going to come back to bite me? I missed this thing, and that thing's going to come back. Well, 10 years ago, I did this thing, and what if somebody finds out about that thing, and then they get upset, and that cascades, and that anxiety just builds and builds and builds, and you end up feeling anxious about everything all the time, to the place where some of you actually wake up in your morning, nothing to worry about, and then you go, oh crap, there's nothing to worry about. What's going to go wrong today? You know I'm right. You've had that thought. What's going to happen? And then you start worrying about what's going to happen, and then you start worrying, well, what if that happens? And then I start panicking because that thing happens, and then what if I panic? And then you're worried about panicking. Nothing's even happened yet, but you are panicked about panicking about, and that's just your life. Some of you are here, and some of you, like, you're kind of new to church and you're trying to navigate it. Others of you, you've been here for, like, I don't know, like 300 years, right? And you're, like, trying to figure stuff out. And you're still one. Are some of you debating like whether or not you could be here for 300 years or something? Like there's a lot of chatter from that. Goodness. What was I saying? You guys threw me off. You've been here for a while, and you hear us talk about prayer and things like that, but you're like, man, I am not hearing God speak. I don't know if God does speak. I don't know how to tell if it's God or if it's me. Maybe you're at the place where you're like, maybe God doesn't speak to us now and we just have to do the best we can. Some of you are here wondering, maybe God isn't even there because I haven't heard him speak. And you're left kind of wandering in the dark because it feels like, where is God in this whole mix? Well, this month, we want to tackle a series of messages from the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms is spelled with a P. It's P-S. It is essentially songs and poems from the Old Testament. And these are old scriptures that the Jewish people had and had in their Bible, and that point to God. And what I want to do is, as we go through a number of these psalms, what we're looking at is the journey of walking with God in our lives. And so I want to start by looking at Psalm 119. Now, just to give you a heads up, there are 176 verses in this psalm. So if you could stand with me, we'll read all 176 together, all together in good voice. No? No, not today, not right now. The Psalm 119 is just an incredible passage of Scripture because it is a poem about the power of God's Word. And so it's 176 verses, but it's broken up into individual sections. And those individual sections each start with a heading that is one of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it goes through the Hebrew alphabet kind of like an acrostic. And I almost said a cross stitch. No, it's not a cross stitch, acrostic. And it's set up like that, and each section talks about the value and the necessity of God's Word. And so it's saying every letter of the alphabet points to the Word of God, and the Word of God gives us something essential. And I'm going to read a few verses from it for you, okay? Just a few verses. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Not only is that valuable or essential, or does that have a key thought for us about how the author of this poem really wants to highlight how essential God's Word is, he's making the point that all of God's Word matters. That all of God's Word matters, and and to stay on the path of life, you need the Word of God. To stay on the path of life, you need the Word of God. And as we look to the Word of God, we see that it has all the essentials we need for life. Say you continue to keep falling for sin and that temptation keeps coming into your life and keeps attacking you and you keep falling for it. It says in Psalm 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In Philippians, in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, by prayer and petition, which is like getting down on your face, humble before God, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You're here, and your marriage is falling apart, and you're like, I don't know what to do. How do I handle this? And you get to Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Maybe you're in the situation where you just don't know how you're supposed to continue on in this economy and with everything going on, and it feels like your world's falling apart and you're just not sure how you handle change of pace. You don't know how to handle being in need. You just don't know what you're supposed to do. And in Philippians again, it says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The answer is, I can do all this through Him, Christ, who gives me the strength. Maybe you're here and you're just overwhelmed with this feeling of grief and loss in your life. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you need to accept the time that you're in. Maybe you don't know what it is that you need to do next. And you're like, how do I figure this out? Back in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. To stay on the path of life, you need the Word of God. Let me give you another picture. How many of you, whether you're married or not, you've been in, maybe it's a even just a friendship, but you've been in kind of an intimate relationship or a long-term relationship with one special person, and you've been going through stuff a lot, and you get to this place where you're starting to have these arguments or these frustrations, and you're just feeling like you're not on the same page, okay? You're tracking with me? You guys have felt that way? That's just me? Great, thank you. I'm just going to go now. you're in that kind of situation, and then you end up talking to one of your other friends, and you're like, man, I just don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what she wants. She says I can pick the restaurant, but then I pick the restaurant and it's wrong, and I ask her what she wants, and like, you guys know that? You guys know those conversations, right? But we get to these places where we're dealing with these people that are really important to us, and we walk away and we have conversations with our friends and family around the situation, and we come down to the conclusion of, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know what they want me to do here. But you haven't even asked yet. Sometimes relationships are complicated and messy, and you ask and you don't get an answer. But a lot of times in our lives, we have these really significant relationships and we're left wondering, I don't know what they want. I don't know what they want me to do. I don't know how things are supposed to change. I don't know what needs to happen here. And we're left wondering, but we haven't even bothered to ask them, what is it that you're thinking? Anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, I can tell you have. And sometimes all you've got to do is say, hey, can we chat for a minute? What do you think about this? What is it that I'm doing wrong? What is it that we need to work on? What is it that you would like to get? What is it that you want this to look like? What is it that... I don't know how many projects I've done at the house, assuming that's what Heidi wanted, just for her to later to go, yeah, I don't really like that. And me going, well, I did it for you. And she's like, yeah, but I didn't tell you that's what it was supposed to look like. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my fault. Oh, I should have asked. But I just assumed that's what you wanted. And it could have been, and I get so mad because I put all this time and effort into it just for it to be wrong, and I feel frustrated and annoyed, but I didn't ask. We walk through life and we face temptations, we face anxiety, we face complications, we face questions about our world, our lives, our family. We face all these things and we make assumptions about all these things, but we don't bother asking God, what is it that you think about this? What is it that you want me to do? What direction am I supposed to be going in here according to you? And we would save ourselves a whole lot of trouble, and we would have so much support and so much strength and so much power behind what we do if we bother to actually ask God and go to His Word. The path that leads to life is with God. And to stay on that path, you need the Word of God. So, this is what all this boils down to. If you want to be on the path of life, you need to stay in the Word of God. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. If you can't afford a Bible, talk to me. I will get you one. If you can't read it because it's in old English and it makes no sense to you, get a different one. I can get you one that's a much easier translation. You can talk to me. I can buy you one. I will buy you a few if need be to find one that works for you. Download the Bible app. the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. It has tons of translations that have it in different wording that you can access it. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's right there. You can find the books of the Bible. You can navigate it. You can find the translation that works and that you can understand. And it will read it to you. And maybe you're not a great reader. Maybe you don't know how to read. Maybe you struggle with reading. Maybe you can't understand things when you read them and they're complex and there's a lot of content. Listen to it. Listen to it. Get the Bible app. Get the translation that you want to listen to and listen to it. Just be in the Word. You need to think about God's Word. You need to take time thinking about what you've read, thinking about what you're listening to. You need to be thinking about it and talking about it. Talk about it with your family. Talk about it with your friends. Find other people in this church that you know, that you love, that you trust, that you can stand. Talk to them about it. Say, what do you think of this verse? What does that mean? How do I apply this? Do you know any passages about this? Are there any scriptures about worry? Are there any scriptures about what I'm supposed to do with temptation? Are there any scriptures about whether or not I should eat bacon or celery? Like, start talking about it. There is a passage about it, by the way. It doesn't talk about celery, because celery's the worst. Amen? Celery's the worst, amen? Oh, goodness gracious, I think we got some celery lovers in the house here. This is not going well this morning. Talk about it. Read your Bible. Listen to your Bible. Talk about your Bible. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be all fun and games. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take focus. It's going to take away from the rest of your day. It's going to take away from everything else you want to do. It doesn't have to be the all-consuming thing of your life. You don't need to give up pickleball so that you can read your Bible. But it is going to come at a cost. But I'm telling you, the cost is completely worth it. Because if you want to stay on the path of life, you need the Word of God. And if you get rid of the Word of God so that you can play pickleball, or that you can have that extra cup of coffee, or you can sleep for 15 minutes longer, or so that you can finish that episode of some stupid show on some stupid channel, guess what? You can do all that, but you're going to fall off the path of life. And you're going to get lost. And you're going to be left scrambling, wondering, what am I supposed to be doing next? How do I keep ending up in these situations? How do I deal with this temptation? Why do I keep feeling anxious? Why can I not hear God? If you want to stay on the path of life, you need to be in the Word of God. And it is costly, but it is worth the cost. I want to share with you one more passage from the Gospel of John. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." What that verse means is that Christ Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And if you want to hear Jesus, read your Bible. The worship team's going to come up, and they're going to lead us in two or three more songs here. And as we spend that time in worship, I want you to be thinking about the Word of God. Think about what God is saying to you, what He has said to you today, and what it is that he wants to say to you. Honestly, I'm still on this journey. And there have been times in my life when I have had big questions and big concerns, and I don't know what to do or how to navigate it. And I spend time in God's Word. And no, it's not like every situation I go to, I read God's Word, and the answer's right there saying, "Thou shalt not buy that car." That's not what it is. But I can tell you there are a lot of answers in here, and the times that I spend time in the Word, I get to hear Him about all the other things much better. If I'm not spending time in His Word, I find it much harder to hear God speak to me about everything else, about those details in my life, about those things that aren't spoken about directly in these pages. But when I am in the Word and I read it and I listen to it consistently, I find it much easier to recognize His voice and to hear what it is He wants to say. And if you want to hear God, if you want to hear Christ, then you need to be in your Bibles. Because to stay on the path of life, you need to be in the Word of God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.